2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. With that, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players. Boomers, ballers, cheat sheet, updated projections, and, of course, the Domination Station. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can find my face on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And the other man in the cockpit, he is the Aaron Eckhart to Sully. I forgot his name in the movie, but in real life, he is Keith Hall. You can find his face on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. Welcome.
Yo, what's up? Yeah, guess what?
What?
We called it. I called it. I said it on the show that Tyronn Lue was just going to throw up the big middle finger.
You did. You did. Yeah, you called that. There was no we in that. That was
hey,
that was
everything we do here is a combined and joint thing.
So the next time you win 40 grand, you're going to give me 20? Not bucks. 1,000. 4 zeros. 4 zeros. Holy cow. Yeah, hey, I understand the silence. I understand
fine.
It, my friend.
This is what we're going to start doing then. When one of us makes a bold call or when I make a bold call, I'll just start just taking credit for it. You know, and I won't even worry about you. So,
well, we can separate the monetary and just the personal gains of the calls. So
there you go.
I think we're all smart enough to figure it out. So I wanted to ask you, I kind of brought it up, you know, before we hit the record button on this thing, but do the people of Oklahoma City have their torches and pitchforks ready to go for tomorrow night?
Oh, dude. You know, here's the thing is, Charles Barkley probably, no surprise to anybody, but Charles Barkley had a bad take again last night. He said that we should stand and give him a standing ovation when he's introduced, and then we should boo the hell out of him the rest of the game. Charles, I know this is a new, kind of theory for you and a new concept, but when you basically leave town running with your tail between your legs and you don't tell the franchise except for a post on whatever the Players Tribune or whatever, then you have no room to be cheered. Now, granted, are we grateful for all of the great things that he did for us as a team and in the community? I said it yesterday. Yes, he was beyond an asset, and I don't believe that we would be where we are as a franchise without Kevin Durant. Like, I really don't. He was coming into Oklahoma City from Seattle. We needed him. He was what we needed in order to make sure that we were of relevance. So do we feel grateful for it? Yes. Does that mean that we are not still scorned for the bullshit that he pulled and is now trying to continue to pull? He's not going to get cheered. He won't. He's just... We have been long called some of the best fans in the NBA. Okay? And there's a reason why. In the state of Oklahoma, the only true professional sports franchise that we have is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay? And the only reason that they're not called the Oklahoma Thunder is because there's a semi-pro football team that's based here out of Tulsa that was called the Oklahoma Thunder before them that trademarked it.
So they had to be called, okay.
They had to be called.
I was about to ask, like, what do you mean true? What else we got going on there?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Because of that.
A little bit of okay history lesson. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the only reason why is, and they wouldn't give up that name. And it's, you know, one of those things. But
interesting.
Here, we don't have anybody else. I mean, we've got the Sooners, we've got the Oklahoma State Cowboys, we got the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, but the only real true professional sports franchise that we have is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
You forgot the Tulsa Drillers.
I guess they would be a true professional sports franchise. And we have the Oklahoma City Dodgers now. So,
all right. Yeah, that's right. But what's his name? The lefty. I forgot. Oh God, I need to remember names for baseball season.
No kidding.
But yeah, I get you. You know, Durant was like the Jesus Christ of Oklahoma, and then you know he's just gone. Just, I totally
know,
get it.
You know, and a lot.
Yeah, and it's who we went to, of course.
Yeah, and I can't. You know, you can't slight anything that like guys like Russ have done for the community, but Russ did it, you know, just by basically expanded on it. Durant was the perfect guy to help build relevance in Oklahoma City. You know, and it's just become one of those things. But make no mistake about it, he will get booed tomorrow.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There will not be any cheers whatsoever.
If someone was arrested for running on the court and assaulting him, like I could see, you know, maybe like a bottle thrown or something like that. I don't know how you folks roll in the middle of the country, but over here on the right side, we're pretty damn rowdy. I mean, you know, in Philly, they were throwing batteries at JD Drew, and that, like, he didn't even show up to the Phillies. Like, he just said, I ain't playing there. So that's one way to look at it. But yeah, I mean, I know that one probably hurt a lot. I mean, I couldn't imagine. But again, we live in a day and age, you know, where Johnny Damon went to the goddamn Yankees. So yeah, anything's possible, I guess.
You know, it's not even the fact, you know, I can understand that, you know, if he wanted to go home to Washington, where Scott Brooks was, who was really honestly the orchestrator of, you know, what Oklahoma City has become, and Billy Donovan's just kind of expanded on it. You know, I mean, you've got that, and I can understand that. He's from that area. He's a big Redskins fan. I can completely understand that. You know, you want to go back home, okay?
Yep.
That's one thing. But to go to the team that you couldn't close out because you shot, like, 2-for-30 from the field in game 5 – and couldn't score a point in the fourth quarter and had like 4 turnovers in game 6 and then had them beat in game 7 and you couldn't close it out either. To go to that team? No. And then okay, do it the way that you did. It's not the fact that he left. It's the fact that he left and who he went to.
Yeah, it was total chicken shit. I said it at first, but I'm enjoying watching the Warriors play, so yeah, I've kind of changed my tune on the whole thing, but easily understandable the way you and the rest of your Oklahomanians feel. All right, let's get to the night in the NBA that is. We do have 9 games, a lot of good matchups here. Let's just dive right into it. It should be a good one. By the way, what do we got going on DraftKings tonight? We got some free contests going on.
Yeah, the basically it's FanDuel or it's DraftKings version of FanDuel's you know, FDP free roll. It's their you know, their tiered free rolls that they put out, you know, bronze, platinum, stuff like that. So you should have got an email. There should be a ticket in there. If you qualify for any of them, you're in there. You know, go and just reserve your entry and then go back in and edit the lineups later. But make sure that you get in there, because if not, then you are missing out on the chance for free money. So now I will say this. I always throw in, you know, one of my GPP lineups to these contests. Usually, you know, you don't bank on these contests to, you know, as part of what helps you build your bankroll as far as money. These are bonuses. You know, these are contests that you want to make sure that you're just in, and that hopefully you put the right lineup in, because the cash lines are, they pay out very little, and the cash lines on these are so ridiculously high. So it's just kind of one of those things, you know, if you get lucky, then yeah. I think the FDP free rolls the other night, the cash lines were like, I think 10 points higher than my GPP lineups.
Wow.
So, and that was going all the way up to platinum level.
All right.
The higher the level, obviously, usually the higher the buy-in or the payouts, but also higher the cash lines usually. So
okay. I know. I guys just saw I got an email from Fantasy Draft. I play over there instead of DraftKings. They have you know, they kind of upped some of their prizes over there too for tonight. So
I might need to go check them out.
Yeah, I like it. I dig it.
Pretty right, is it pretty soft over there?
Not as it once, you know, like when we first started playing over there, then we were cashing heavily in baseball every night, but, you know, a lot of like the Roto Grinders guys and people like that have since found out about it. So I don't think it's as soft, but they limit the amount of entries that they have in each contest.
So it's at least competitive. Like a whole bunch of,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Cool.
All right, 9 games tonight. Let's get to it. We start my neck of the woods in Brooklyn, where the Miami Heat are 6.5-point favorites, minus 280 on the money line total. That has jumped up 2.5 points to 214.5. That is the Miami Heat at the Brooklyn Nets. A couple matchup notes here. Heat have won both meetings this season. And then the Heat are 9-1 straight up. And against the spread against the Nets in their last 10 meetings. So they've absolutely been kicking some ass. The Miami Heat themselves are on a 12-game winning streak, 16-6 against the spread this season against teams with a losing record. Then on the Nets side of things, it's the total opposite ends of the spectrum with an 11-game losing streak. However, 9 of those games have been by single digits, including the last 6. Talk about heartbreak. And 8-27 against the spread when the total is 210 or more for the Nets. A couple injury news notes here to think about. Deion Waiters is going to be out. He missed the last game with the ankle injury, so this will be his second consecutive. And then Josh Richardson also out. He's nearing a return, but has missed multiple games lately, also with an ankle issue. Quincy Acey, he's going to be out for this one. He's missed the last 2 games with an ankle injury. And then Jeremy Lin is still dead with the hamstring injury. So, like, let's start with the Heat, since that's where most people are probably going to be thinking about. You know, with Deion Waiters out, Josh Richardson still out, that puts us back to kind of a similar situation that we had not too long ago, where it was Dragic, Waiters, Wayne Ellington. Now we just basically flip-flop Ty Joe and Waiters in this one.
Yeah, As long as Josh Richardson doesn't play, I think you could, you know, if you're running out like 50 lineups, you know, 150 lineups, you can look a little bit towards Rodney Magruder and Wayne Ellington, you know, as kind of like a 10%, you know, type of play. Magruder played, 30 minutes the other night.
Woof.
And,
you know, his girlfriend? Woof.
But you know, he's gonna play. You know, we said it the other night. He's that combo 2-3 guard forward. He played 36 minutes against Milwaukee. He's also one of those things that, you know, he could go out and he could put you up a 10 in 30 minutes. So it just kind of all depends. He's definitely interesting. Where I'm going right now, and it, like I said, it's going to depend on the Josh Richardson news. I'm going to be safe with this one, which is not something I normally do, but it's Tyler Johnson, it's Goran Dragic, and then maybe a little bit of James Johnson. That is it. So.
Oh, you're leaving somebody out, aren't you?
Who? The only people relevant on the Miami Heat right now.
Okay. Now, most people may argue that their center is pretty good at basketball.
Go ahead.
He has posted at least 40 fantasy points in his last four games. I know, you know, we've talked about this at great length. You're not ready to proclaim him as back, but he's on the right path, and he's got a tits matchup tonight.
Let's see here. Do you know how many fantasy points they've played each other twice this season? Okay.
Yes.
Once on January 30th, once on January 25th. Do you realize he's only averaging 25 minutes in those games?
Right.
He can't cover anybody on the Nets.
The first matchup is the one where, yeah, he got benched / injured. You know,
He got benched because he can't guard anybody.
He did look like shit that night. He was just in IDGAF mode for pretty much the whole time.
Don't play him. He's not going to be on the court. I will put it this way. If Hassan Whiteside scores more than 35 points on FanDuel tonight, I will be utterly shocked. Utterly shocked. I just don't see him play. He might play 30 minutes and get 30 fantasy points. He might average a fantasy point per minute. But I don't see him being on the court. I don't see it. It's just not.
It's a beautiful, seamless transition into the Nets because, you know, Brook Lopez, he did have the one game where he hit a career high 6 three-pointers against him. And, you know, and look, we've seen this recently where, you know, stretch bigs can do that against him and it works out well. You know, Lopez typically, newsflash, he's not going to hit 6 threes tonight, but, you know,
he's
going to
hit 7.
It was just completely mad. Like, I think he hit, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he hit the first 5.
Yeah, he was in fuego for a while.
It was hit all 5 or all 6 at least were in the first half.
Yeah, he was absolutely
the first 5, but all 6 were in the first half, and then they finally, you know, took Whiteside out of there and went with the matchup. But again, I'm not really liking Brook Lopez for this matchup. Obviously, the Heat figured something out in the second half of that game. They figured it out the second time that they played each other. Now, I tell you who I do like from the Nets tonight, Trevor Booker, because that bench roll. Oh man, that shit suits him so well, Keith. So well.
Wait a second. Did I get? I just got an update. One of my sneaky plays was I thought I got a Trevor Booker and a Thaddeus Young were out, and I got two Thaddeus Youngs were out. So I don't mind Booker.
I just wanted to throw a stat out here real quick. He's averaging just under 28 FanDuel points over the last 6 games. But again, just being on the bench. I mean, the guy's walking on air lately. When, you know, you check out some of these highlights from the last couple games, he's just taking the ball to the hole with some authority. It's a brand new Trevor Booker you're seeing off the bench. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's we talk about it, you know, usually when you get uses. And, you know, I think this is a. I understand that the Nets aren't going anywhere, okay? I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. But I think this is a good play for the Nets because now it allows Brook to kind of absorb that owner or that the rebounding. It allows Brook to be Brook with the first team and Thaddeus to be very, very productive with the second team as well. We talk
Fad
about.
2.0, you mean?
Dad, what?
Fad 2.0, you mean?
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, we've talked about it. We've talked about it, about him being one of those guys that can absolutely, you know, just dominate at times. But the problem is he takes away from Etuan Moore. Or not Etuan Moore, I'm sorry. Brook Lopez's rebounding abilities, which sucks because now Brook Lopez doesn't have any value. So, yeah, I completely forgot about him going to the second team. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I was about to say Thaddeus Young being, or not Thaddeus Young, God dang it. Trevor
Remember,
Booker
it's
being
Fat
in.
2.0 here.
Trevor Booker being in. That's where you got me confused. Would limit my interest in Brook Lopez, and now I kind of agree with you. I think they're both in play. I wouldn't put them in the same lineup, but I would definitely, you definitely should probably have exposure to both of them if you're making multiple lineups.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Now, that is it from the Nets because I've tried each and every way, trying to get some value in there for my boys. Has not been working. Now, look, I'm not going overload on my boys here, but every now and again I'll have a little Bojan, have some LeVert. Look, Bojan, he's not a bad play. He's been doing pretty well here the last two games, but again, you don't know what you're getting on a consistent basis. If his shot hasn't fallen, forget about it. It's not gonna work. So again, typically I like Brooklyn to be competitive in these games when they're less than 200 on the money line. That is not where they are tonight. I think, Miami comes in here, does what they have to do tonight, and gets the hell on to wherever they gotta go next. So one thing I will say for Brooklyn, though, I mean, I mentioned it in the matchup portion of this. I mean, six straight losses, nine of 11 of them in single digits. They're competitive, so don't dismiss the Heat just because they're playing the Knicks. I mean, the Nets, for as much as they don't have any talent, they still are very competitive in these games. And the fact that they run the fastest pace and play the third worst defense in the NBA, that really bodes well for opposing teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we talked about it. We've talked about it at length this season. This is one of the teams that I mean, they rank dead last in every single freaking position. So,
Omar, just
well,
give us some.
okay, sorry. It's either dead last or, you know, second or third from last. So, but, you know, right now it's, I mean, right now the usage is being, don't get me wrong, Hassan Whiteside does eat up some usage. But the usage is being ate up between the two guards, James Johnson and Hassan Whiteside. And James Johnson, if you ever give me a heart attack like you did on Wednesday night again, I will make sure that your MMA ass and your black belt ass has every opportunity to kick the living shit out of me.
Is that confirmed
What?
that he's in with like the Muay Thai and the dojos and
Oh,
whatnot?
dude, his oh God, you should look up his MMA history. Oh my
Okay.
gosh, dude, his both of his parents and oh yes, that's concern that he's okay. There's probably like a handful of there's a discussion going on Twitter the other night. You know who would the all kick your ass team in the NBA right now? And you know point guard would be Russ and. You know,
Are you kidding me?
are you kidding
Why
me?
would he be on there? He can't fight.
Dude, he's from South freaking Cali.
Oh man, I know plenty of wussies from Compton, all right? Plenty of them.
Not named Clarence?
This guy's a gangster. His real name's Clarence.
Anyways, Yeah, dude, Will Bart or not Will Barton, James Johnson is, I mean, Nektak is freaking one of those guys you just don't want to mess with. You know, Zeebo's in that mix, and but yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
But yeah, Nektak is, whoo.
He's on the team because he's from South Cali. Get out of here, bro. Come on. All right, next dude, game.
I don't want to meet Russ on a backcourt.
San Antonio Spurs, 4.5-point favorites in this one, minus 185 on the money line in Detroit tonight. A lot of tough guys from that city. All the miles, very tough, very tough. 208 total in this one, has jumped up to 209.5, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not looking at too many points in this one, but, you know, just like we saw last night, Mavericks, Jazz could turn out to be something special. Spurs won the only meeting this season between the two teams, a 10-point win in San Antonio. Spurs have won their last four meetings and covered all of those meetings against the Pistons in the last four. For the Spurs, Pau Gasol is out indefinitely with a broken finger and no injuries to talk about from Detroit. I guess we just glance over the Spurs real quick. I'm thinking Kawhi Leonard and possibly Tony Parker. How about you?
I don't know if I want to play Kawhi today.
Okay. Well, he got the possibly.
Well, here's the only reason. He's 9,600. Okay.
Yes.
DraftKings 82.
Yeah, I mean, he's a better play on DraftKings. I understand that, but still, I mean, that's a lot for Kawhi to do. That's a lot for Kawhi to do. One of the things that I've noted, and it's not, and this game is in Detroit, and Detroit's a better team at home than they are away. And this isn't really going to be a fast-paced up game, I believe. They both are around the bottom half in like team overall pace. Now there's times where both of them can play a lot faster. Don't get me wrong, but, I'm looking at it here.
I was going to say, just to add on, you got the Spurs at 26, Pistons at 24.
Yeah. So they're towards the bottom in pace. I don't really, really like it. I like some options more on the Detroit side. I think I might like a Dwayne Dedmon or a David Lee. I'm not really sure I want to go to... I haven't got a good feel on Kawhi right now.
Yeah, and it's understandable. You just, we're talking about the Spurs. So basically, we talk about Kawhi Leonard. That's how the discussion goes. I will say for Tony Parker, though, Pistons have gotten torched by some point guards here of late. Parker, very cheap on FanDuel, I believe he's at 4,500. Two of the last three games, he's been right at that 27-point mark, 26.7, and then he nailed 27 right on the head. One of the games was against the Nuggets, so you take that with a grain of salt. But the other one was against the Sixers and TJ McConnell, who's proven to be a pretty pesky defender. I could go there. I think this will be a pretty good game competitively, so that's what keeps Parker in the mix, at least for value. But, I mean, we're not looking for 20. We're trying to get more upwards of that 30. So, yeah, it's going to be a stretch, no doubt. But 4,500 is still a very attractive price for a starting point guard in this league.
Yeah, I guess. I'd rather play Reggie Jackson, who's had some success against the Spurs.
Okay.
Remember how we were talking about there was somebody for the Oklahoma City Thunder I couldn't remember that always used to light up the Spurs?
It was he.
It dinged on me this morning, especially on DK where
now
where they have the dynamic pricing. If you're sitting over there, Reggie Jackson's 4,900 on DK.
Okay.
He is 57 on FanDuel. I even don't mind him on FanDuel. He's not my top play from this game, but. If I don't want to punt with Tony Parker because I don't feel like he has 35 to 40 point upside. Like, he does, but not, I mean, if you were to say, okay, who's going to hit it more, Reggie Jackson or Tony Parker? Now, Reggie Jackson can also shit the bed a lot more, too. That's, I mean, I'm not saying that at all. As can Tony. Yeah, but you sit there and talk about it, Reggie Jackson or Tony Parker. I think you can play, now this is a stack that I will be doing, I will have some exposure to, is the Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond stack.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, not the most appealing play in the world. Now, you look at Drummond's price there on FanDuel. He's also got to do a lot tonight. But, you know, we're probably more likely than not going to see Aldridge on him. Like, I understand, you know, they're playing different positions, but you would think the Spurs smarten up and put him there.
On who?
On Drummond.
No.
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah.
Why not?
Gotta go big body on big body, man.
You don't think that they throw Dwayne Dedman at him even more?
Dwayne Dedman ain't scaring nobody.
Right, but he can go in there. He's a bigger body than LMA, and he can go in there, and if Dwayne Dedman gets 3,000 the first half, your offense is not losing a lot, you know? But if LMA goes in there and gets 3,000 the first half, now you've got
the way he's been playing on offense lately.
Ah, true.
You can throw him in the same mix.
But
too.
What I'm saying is Dedman is less of a asset to the Spurs offense than, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, do I think that, you know, LMA does see a little bit of Drummond? Yes, absolutely. But I don't think it's a matchup that's going to happen a lot. We also got to remember, the way the Spurs play defense, they are very, very good about switching into good defensive matchups. So it depends on what the Pistons have out there on the court. Because I think if Tobias Harris ends up eating or being out there a lot more than John Luehr tonight, I think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be all over Tobias Harris.
Okay. Now, just as I'm a man who admits his faults, just, you know, when we were talking about, you know, Millsap on Fareed the other night, and you were saying, oh, you know, that's a tough matchup for Millsap. Turns out Fareed was down at the bottom of defensive RPM. Well, we got Dwayne Dedman fourth overall for center. Well, not overall, but fourth in terms of centers on the DRPM list. And, you know, again, we talk about how sometimes it's skewed, but you know, you take a look at some of the names that are up top there. That's good company to be in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Andre Drummond's up there kind of high too. And we talk about it. It's not that Andre Drummond is not a good defender. It's just that the way that the Pistons play their defensive scheme, they don't have a lot of help inside, and that hurts, you know, the fantasy production that Andre Drummond is getting. Or that, you know, the fantasy production perception that Andre Drummond is a bad defender. So,
yeah, you got Drummond down there 27th among centers, but still a pretty
good
score.
Okay, then he's gone
still,
down.
Still
then.
A pretty good score, though. I mean, there's a lot of great names.
Well, he
great,
was
pretty damn good names on this list.
When we first started talking about this, he was up there, I think, in the top 10. So. So he could be struggling. It could be a way to attack, but, you know, it's something that's pretty nice.
Now there's a play from the Pistons that you and I both are pretty big on. We talked a little bit about it in the Slack chat already today. You unveil the man, shall you?
Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Are you down with some KCP?
You know me.
There we go. Look, not only have we been targeting shooting guards against the Spurs all year, but this is the perfect opportunity to discuss the game theory aspect of it. He shit the bed the last three games in not just good matchups, phenomenal matchups. Phenomenal.
Let's say it slow, kids. Phenomenal.
Actually, four now. Okay, Minnesota, Indiana, Philly, Lakers.
And you know what's crazy about that, right? So we're saying shit in the bed. Well, I mean, yeah, 18-21, they're not giving you any clearance to the top of leaderboards whatsoever. But it's also, I mean, he had the 5.4 against Indiana. I mean, it's not that, you know what I mean? Like, if you hit the nuts and bolts elsewhere, at least, you know, you could still probably cash with that. And that was when he was at, like, closer to 6,000. Now, you know, he just dropped dramatically all the way back down towards the 5,000. I believe 5,000 on DraftKings tonight as well.
Yeah, he's... I'm seriously, my night, as of right now, my night's going to hinge on KCP.
Yes. That makes two of us, and a lot more of us if they're listening to the pod.
Yes. Now, do I think that he's a good cat? Actually, I mean, I still even wouldn't mind putting him in cash games just because he's so damn cheap. But this is a guy that's got 50-point upside, and, you know, you can get him at five. The guy's got a legit shot for going for 10x tonight, and I can't ignore that. I just can't do it.
Nah, not at all. And you know, you talked about it too. I mean, we've seen plenty of guys just do well against the Spurs. In fact, they're giving up, you know, the seventh most fantasy points to shooting guards per game, you know, if we're looking at the DVP. Obviously not the true indicator, but it gives you some glance into what's going on there.
Yeah. It's just, it's, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about him. I'm invested in the KCP train. You can either jump on or jump off. I don't care. But he's going to pay off. Like, this is not a his game has changed type scenario like, you know, Paul George. This is his shot's just not falling. Are falling. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Shooters shoot. As Kobe would have said, what's the best way to get out of a slump? You shoot. And he's going to shoot. And
I hate Kobe.
Yeah, but you gotta, it works.
I was never a fan of taking a 23-foot fadeaway for the last shot of the game. Drive the shit to the hole, man. Let's not be ridiculous. All right, anything else from this game before we move along?
Not really.
All right, it's good for me. All right, we've got the Charles Oakley Bowl at the Garden tonight. The Denver Nuggets up against the New York Knicks. Knicks, 2-point favorites in this one, minus 135 on the money line they are. And we've got a slate high, 229 total in this one. Juicy, juicy. All right, so take a look at some of the matchup here. Nuggets have won the only meeting this season, 13-point win in Denver. Nuggets are 4-1 straight up and against the spread against the Knicks in their last five meetings. And this is an interesting stat here for betting purposes. The Knicks 1-9 against the spread in February home games over the last two seasons. Read it and weep. All right, injury news. Danilo Gallinari, Kenneth Faried, and Emmanuel Mudiay all listed as out tonight for various purposes. Joakim Noah is questionable / doubtful for this one. He's missed the last two games with a hamstring injury. And then Lance Thomas could play tonight. He's questionable, more on the probable side, though. He's missed the last couple games there with the orbital injury, concussion symptoms, whatever. Okay, so this is hysterical. So, you know, Charles Oakley got kicked out of the Knicks game on Wednesday night, as we all know. Well, last night, the Rangers were at the Garden, and already the chance for a free Oakley were going up during a damn hockey game.
There's an update to this, too, by the way.
Okay, well, go ahead with it already.
I wonder if you were going there, and I just ruined your thunder.
Well, no, go ahead, because it might have added something to it.
The head security officer from Madison Square Garden was terminated this morning because of that.
Really?
Yes. Really? So I'm assuming that you didn't know that.
No, I did not know that. Yes. I did not know that.
It was all over Twitter.
I didn't have really much of like a... you know, like a thought into it. But no, it was just funny how ready for a Rangers game. So tonight I expect this crowd to be absolutely nuts. And the funniest quote I heard today, I was listening to New York sports talk radio all morning today, and they were saying that some of the Knicks might wear Charles Oakley shirts, you know, in support of what happened and everything. So it was like a tribute to Charles Oakley. So this guy goes, "You want to pay a tribute to Charles Oakley? Play some goddamn defense for once." we all know that's not going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it should be just an absolutely wild scene tonight. But, yeah, I'm probably going to watch that instead of the Nets game. I might have to pull
Courtney
one up on
Lee has forgotten how to play defense since he's become a Knick. Oh, my gosh. That was funny.
Now, you know, it's funny because you had – let's start off with the Knicks. And, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose, and Kristaps Porzingis all scored 20-plus points last game against the Clippers. That's funny. You'd think that'd be a good thing for the Knicks. They're actually – I believe it's 1-4, 1-5 in that scenario when all three of them score 20 or more points. I was especially pleased with Kristaps Porzingis. He came out of the gate gunning. This could be a very interesting spot to maybe get him back in the mix. But, you know, when I'm looking at this game, 229 total, I mean, obviously point guards are going bananas against the Nuggets this season. I never want to trust Derrick Rose, but I mean, all these matchups for them are just phenomenal tonight. It's just, I mean, how many times have we been let down by the Knicks before?
Yeah, because they're the Knicks. Look, I mean, everything is pointing towards Derrick Rose. If I feel he's going to be sneaky, I like the play. If I feel he's going to be chalk, I'm staying away because I have no problems fading Derrick Rose at high ownership. If Derrick Rose, we talk about this, there's a list of about 15 guys that if they beat me because they go off in tournaments, then, you know, so be it. It's not going to be something that I'm looking for unless he's going to be sneaky. I love the matchup. Now, I think I might even rather would play, maybe not. Okay, yeah, probably not. I was about to say, I definitely have a little bit of interest in Courtney Lee because he's going to play 30 minutes. He's only $4,400. That's not cheap, but it's not out of whack either. He's 38 on DraftKings. I probably have more exposure to him over there. I don't know if I can play Carmelo. I mean, I know the dude's going to jack up 20-plus shots, but what would you say? In order for him to pay off 8,100, he needs to get to, what, 45?
8,100, let's see, 5X would be, what, 41? So, yeah, 40, 43,
45? He
needs... Probably 45, closer to...
5 and 8. He needs 45, basically, 44.55. Right. So, he would have to score, what, 33? 30? He would have to score 30 points? Let's see. Okay, here's against the Clippers. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Clippers either came down to the wire or was an overtime game. Came down to the wire, right?
Came down to the wire, yeah.
Okay, he only had one turnover. So you're only missing 2 points once or 1 point once. Okay. He had 28 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, and a steal. And got you 45.3. At 8,100, there's no profit upside unless he goes bananas for points. So
right, yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, you know, that's definitely costing you a lot, but you look, I mean, we'll get to it real quick, but you look on the other side of the ball, you got Wilson Chandler there for I believe what, 1400 cheaper on FanDuel, who basically presents you with the same,
a higher ceiling
output.
And yeah, probably that, a higher floor.
The same exact that Melo can do, basically, at 1,400. So I don't see the need to go there. But
I would even argue that it's higher than what Melo has.
All right. I don't think you have to go with Melo there. If he does, great, whatever. But the odds that he doesn't are much greater, especially if he's sharing touches with Derrick Rose, Porzingis. I mean, again, like I was astounded by the way Porzingis came out. He looked like he was ready to go again. So, you know, he's extremely cheap. I believe, what, 6,800 on FanDuel today.
I want to see one more game. As far as not even really the production, I want to see him move around like that again one more game. Because that was the first game that I'd seen that he looked good. Like just
he wasn't even moving around, he's just popping them from three at the outside.
Yeah, but just from a health standpoint, that was the first game I've seen in a while that he's looked decent. He hasn't looked like he's laboring in any sort. So I want to see that one more time. Don't mind it in tournaments, but until I'm back on the full bore on the Zingas, then I would say so. I say one more
just
time.
To give you an idea of how much I liked him today, he was the runner up for the cover photo of today's article. The runner up. So yeah, we talked about all the big names there. Now it's gonna be interesting to see what the Knicks do, because I have a feeling we're gonna see a lot of Wilson Chandler at the four tonight, Will Barton at the three. He's been playing a ton of minutes for the Nuggets. So if the Knicks have to counteract this, it's gonna be what, Porzingis at the five most of the time. What is that gonna do for Hernan Gomez and Kyle O'Quinn? I mean, we never know. So I
actually don't think that they're going to put Wilson Chandler at the four that much. I mean, they can at times. Don't get me wrong.
I say the four because, you know, Melo typically plays there, and I expect both of them to be on each other all night.
I think Darrell Arthur's going to be on Melo.
Ugh, gross.
I mean, I know it's not great. Don't get me wrong. But it's better than – I would rather I mean, wouldn't you rather stick, like, Wilson Chandler on Kaminskis? Because I think Courtney Lee is going to be on Wilson Chandler. Or Will Barton. One of the two. Because I don't think Melo's guarding any... I think Melo's going to stick to Darrell Arthur. But, I mean...
Might be how they started out, yeah. But... You know, the game goes long. I mean, it does have the highest total, so I'm expecting a track meet. Again, expecting, and the Knicks in the same sentence usually get let down. But
I think Kyle Quinn's a good option. I mean, he's going to play 23, 24 minutes. I think Guillermo Hernan Gomez is an option. We didn't even talk about his brother, Juancho Hernan Gomez, who could be an option as well.
That's right.
In tournaments.
Brotherly love in the Big Apple.
No kidding. I mean, I think they're all kind of in play. If you want to talk to me about going to the front court, it's Nikola Jokic. It's not even close. Like, the dude's price has dropped now. You're telling me that his price is dropping and he's still the same player? Let's go. Fire it up.
Yeah, I saw that immediately, and I was like, what? Like, that's one of those it seems way too good to be true sorts of things. And, yeah, he's had a couple of performances here where he slipped up. I didn't really look into it. Oh, wait a minute. I was looking at something else. Because he's 9,900 on FanDuel. I could have swore he was 92, but... I guess I was looking at the DraftKings tab. Yes, that's exactly
what
happened.
Yeah, he's 92 on.
All right, yeah. So, all right, now I'm not as, you know, cynical of what's going on here. Yeah, it's an obvious mismatch going on there. Again, if Jokic is going to play well. I hate when I do that, when I get cynical for no damn reason.
But he's still, I mean, he's power forward eligible, so you can play him. And Anthony Davis or Draymond Green, or, you know, you have other options there to go with it on FanDuel, and you can still play a guy like, you know, Brook Lopez or Miles Turner or, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, or I can't believe we're going to talk about this guy a little bit later. But we will. I mean, you can still play guys like that. And it's definitely a big. I mean, look, you can just find a way to get to stack this game as much as possible.
Oh, it's doable.
I know it is. They've made it very doable, especially if you throw in like a Wancho Hernan Gomez. You know, you could double stack. You could even double stack Will Barton and Gary Harris. We didn't even talk about him, but Jameer Nelson is an option. I would rather in tournaments go to Jamal Murray because he's going to play off the ball and on the ball. You know, now that Emmanuel Mudiay is out, he's gonna play both the two, and when they go small, he can play the two. When Barton goes to the three and Chandler goes to the four, and you know, if he's in there over Gary Harris, so I mean that's an option as well. I would prefer him over Jameer Nelson just because if Jameer Nelson is having a good game, usually that means that Will Barton and Wilson Chandler and Gary Harris are not. Because it's usually the connection between him and Jokic. Now, Jokic can still have a good game without Jameer and with the other guys going off because he does a lot with the rebounding and stuff like that. But it's definitely one of those situations. I would rather, like I said, in tournaments go to Jamal Murray over Jameer Nelson.
All right. All right, that should do it for that game. Lots to get into there, but again, that'll be a Slack chat favorite later on today. All right, let's get to the Los Angeles Lakers at the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks 4-point favorites in this one, -160 on the money line. Over under is at 219. Obviously, the big news here: Jabari Parker with the torn ACL. He'll be out for the rest of the season. He's going to be out for 12 months, so he's going to miss a lot of next season as well. And then we got no injuries on the Lakers side of things. So I guess, you know, first and foremost, this is going to put Giannis Antetokounmpo into a whole new stratosphere of usage, we would think. The numbers don't necessarily show it as of yet, but, you know, this is what are we going to – I'm trying to
– Oh, it's astronomical.
I had – what, 29.3?
Uh-huh.
The photo I have is blurred, goddammit. But, yeah, so I guess we have seen it. It's just I thought it was going to be like Boogie territory, but no.
No, not that close. But there are some very, very, very interesting plays in this game now. Jabari Parker, it's just kind of – it's one of those things that you've got to – you know, worry about. He was having a great year, and I hope he gets better quickly. But you know, per 36 minutes on FanDuel or on DraftKings, you know, his usage actually takes a slight bump, but his fantasy points per minute actually increase. So it's still at a 28.9. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's still the de facto point guard without Jabari Parker on the floor.
Right.
But, you know, you've got, you know, Chris Middleton, who's now back in the mix. You've got Michael Beasley, who's going to sit there and take, what would you say, 23? I mean, they closed with Michael Beasley and Tony Snell both on the court with Beasley at the three or with Beasley at the four and Snell at the three. Brogdon was at the two. And of course you got Giannis and, John Henson. That's what they played most of the closing minutes of the fourth quarter with. So I don't mind it. I like Giannis tonight. I think he's going to be extremely popular because I think that, you know, that's going to be basically just your default, you know, oh, Jabari's out. Let's go to Giannis. I've already seen, you know, other providers, quote unquote, basically say that, you know, Giannis is a must play. I don't think Giannis is a must play. He's a good play. I don't think he's a must play. And that is one of the situations that you have to sit there and worry about. As far as the secondary options, here's your options that could take minutes for Jabari Parker tonight.
Is this going to be the A through J multiple choice?
A through X multiple choice.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Spencer Hawes, John Henson, Thon Maker, Tony Snell, Mirza Teletovic, Michael Beasley. All those guys could end up getting minutes at the four tonight. Because you could legit say, okay, let's throw out Greg Monroe and Roy Hibbert. Or Greg Monroe and Spencer Hawes. I mean, there are so many different things that you could do, that Jason Kidd could do. And if you nail it, congratulations. You're a lot smarter than me, or you guessed right. My default is I'm going to go to Michael Beasley. That's where I'm going to default to, and it's not even going to be a lot. I don't know. As of right now, I'm not taking a shot on John Henson. Sure, yeah, he's in the rotation, but when you add in Spencer Hawes, who can stretch the floor, and Roy Hibbert, who is a shell of his old self, but is still somewhat, you know, usable for 15 to 18 minutes a game, you know, that whole situation becomes muddy. And then you add in the Jason Kidd factor. No, I'm out.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hysterical because we just got done talking about two teams with a lot of great potential and value tonight, but their coaches are just complete and utter assholes. And, you know, now it's funny. It's like giving Toy Joe Yoko, whoever's the leader of South Korea or whatever, the one that was in Team America. It's like giving him, you know,
Kim Jong-il?
Yes, exactly. There we go. What a Toy John. Oh, man. I'm going to hell. But we, you're giving these guys way too many options, and it really creates a lot of chaos for us because we don't know where to go. And then it also creates chaos because we think we know where they're going to go, and they don't even know where they're thinking about going. So, yeah, all I could say is, I guess, if you're doing multiple entries, you take a little bit of each, and if you're doing one like me, you become religious in the next couple hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lakers side of things are interesting. Luke Walton said that D'Angelo Russell, quote unquote, looked tired in the last game. That doesn't sound good for him, especially since he's played a combined 43 minutes these last two games. That scares me. Doesn't make me have any kind of faith in him. But what's interesting is that Jordan Clarkson, he sprained his thumb in that last game. He taped it up and was able to go through practice, but Keith, we talking about practice. We ain't talking about a game. We talking about practice here. If he has any discomfort, obviously that'll lead to more minutes for Russell and even for Lou Williams. Lou's, you know, his minutes are pretty much where we need them to be. But, you know, if Clarkson can't really give it a full go, that would definitely give Lou more of a shot. And again, wings against the Bucks, we like that. They can do damage.
His minutes aren't where I need him to be for 6,200 on FanDuel. I want him playing over 30. Now, if Jordan Clarkson's out, then yes, absolutely, he'll play over 30.
I don't think he's gonna be out. What I'm saying here, he's gonna play. It's just,
you think he's gonna be limited?
You gotta hope he's uncomfortable with the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to take a shot on D'Angelo Russell. Although I think he sees Matthew Dellavedova. I think Malcolm Brogdon is very, very, very interesting tonight.
Okay.
I really, really, really am salivating about Chris Middleton. I still only think he plays 15 minutes. You know, he only played 14 last game, but I still think that he could play, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. Obviously, that's his minutes restriction. But I wonder if DraftKings made any moves on his salary. They did not. He's still 3,600. Yeah, I can't go there for Middleton. Not yet. I'd like him to, if he was playing closer to 20, then yeah. But I mean, do I think he has a good game? Yeah. Do I think he can rain and drain? Yeah. I mean, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a block. I mean, in the 15 minutes, he did pretty well. But, you know, he's out of play, obviously. But it muddies up the situation in the backcourt because, like I said, you've got Mirza Teletovic that can sit there, and he's basically a white man's Chris Middleton. He can absolutely just get hot and from downtown, but his minutes are going to get cut. You know, Tony Snell can give you a 10 or an 8.9 in 34 minutes, or he can give you Tony Snell's not an option. Yeah, I think it's Michael Beasley. It's Malcolm Brogdon. D'Angelo Russell. Julius Randle. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. And Ivaka Zubac is an option tonight. Not that I don't like playing Ivaka Zubac. I don't like playing him when he's chalk and he's a tournament dart only, because, you know, you'd have to think if the Lakers get blown out, Zubac is going to get time on the court because he's 19. He needs to play, you know.
Right.
And he's athletic enough to get around Greg Monroe. Now, if you're talking him banging with Greg Monroe, I don't think that's going to happen. But if you think that he can't bang with John Henson or Spencer Hawes, if the Lakers force Milwaukee to go smaller, then I really like Ivaka Zubac. So
for the Lakers, I mean, look, Randall Nance, Tariq Black, that's where I'm looking. I don't know about Zubac. I think this game's going to be pretty close. You know, again, one of the things we got to remember with the Bucks too, now they got to learn how to play without Jabari Parker. You know, we've seen this a couple times with teams where you lose one of your main components on offense. You kind of, you know, you don't really know what you're doing yet. You know, you kind of, yeah, you got to practice, but this is really your first game in a new situation there. Guys are probably going to be doing a lot more than they're used to. So I could see the Bucks struggling at the onset of this game, but, you know, overall probably going to be the Greek feast. But I think that allows this game to stay close. I mean, Vegas thinks it's a pretty close game. Money line's under 200. But, yeah, for me, I think it's going to be those three guys down low. And then, you know, Brandon Ingram, he's a guy that's done well, exceeded his salary expectations in 3 straight games. Done really well over the last 2 especially, so he could be interesting. I'm pretty sure they're smart enough to not put him on Antetokounmpo tonight just because of the whole length factor, because he is god-awful on defense. But if for any reason he's on the Greek, he might get himself into foul trouble. But hopefully, you know, they're smart enough to keep him away from him.
Yeah, hopefully.
Indeed. All right. This is another fantasy game that I really like tonight, or a game that I really like for fantasy purposes tonight, with New Orleans Pelicans at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Timberwolves 3.5-point favorites, -150 on the money line with a total of 214. Pelicans won the only meeting this season. That was at New Orleans, and they won by 21. Pelicans are 7-2, 6-3 against the spread against the Timberwolves in their last 9 meetings. Great stat right here, my friend. 7 of the last 9 Pelicans-Timberwolves games have gone over the total. Pelicans 7-17 against the spread on Friday nights over the last two seasons. You know how much I love those Friday night numbers. Timberwolves 8-17 against the spread as a favorite this season, and then 20-39 against the spread against teams with a losing record over the last two seasons. A couple injury news notes here for both sides. Tyreke Evans is questionable. Missed the last game with a sprained ankle. We've also got Terrence Jones listed as questionable. I don't even know why. I got the update. And then Etuan Moore is going to be out for this game. That's all for the Pelicans. And then for the Timberwolves, obviously, you got Zach LaVine out for the season with the ACL tear. And then Chris Dunn's questionable. He's missed the last four games with a hand injury. He did dress the last game, but did not make it into the game. Let's start with the Pelicans since we got all this new injury news to deal with. What do you make of all that?
Anthony Davis, if Tyreke and Terrence Jones are both out, then Buddy Hield. If Tyreke is out and Terrence Jones is in, then possibly maybe a little bit of Terrence Jones. I would love, but only if I think he's going to play close to 30 minutes. If Tyreke and Jones are both in, then it's Anthony Davis and it's Drew Holiday. And that's about it.
Yeah, I was a little interested because I had Etuan Moore at. Actually, I had a little blurb about him today just because, you know, we're talking about the Timberwolves here and, you know, we've been able to attack them at shooting guard and at small forward this season. So, yeah, I thought that could have been an interesting move. I initially had Buddy Hield. I started looking into the minutes and I was seeing that, you know, Etuan Moore's kind of been stepping into that role. So, absolutely, if Tyreke and well, obviously, we know Etuan's out, but especially if Tyreke is out tonight, I really like Buddy Hield, and I believe he's at the minimum or damn near it.
Yeah, he's at the minimum.
Yeah, he's at the minimum, so that could absolutely work out well. Now, the Timberwolves did just pick up Lance Stephenson, and he played 20 minutes in that first game, so, you know, there's a chance that Buddy could see some of him, but Buddy's a shooter. I'm not, you know, tremendously worried about it, and especially for the type of minutes he would see tonight at minimum price. That's a fantastic way to go. Really like Anthony Davis in this one. Had a good graphic about him. He's averaged 52.4 FanDuel points over the last six games, but in his last five meetings against the Timberwolves, he hasn't done less than 42. He's got, you know, what do we got here? 42, 47, 52. 59, very close to a 60, and then his last game against the Timberwolves, which was this year, he put up 63.5. So, yeah, I mean, look, you take a couple of those guys, or, you know, all those guys out of the lineup, if they're out tonight, you're going to see him play extra minutes, get extra shots. I mean, there's really no way I'd be able to pass that up. Have me taking Kristaps out that lineup real quick.
Yeah, that should get you to do that. I love, I can't believe I'm gonna say this.
Lamp?
No, Ricky Rubio.
Oh no.
Well,
let me get you off Rubio for a sec. All right.
Please do. Please do.
Well, no, I was gonna say, because now that they've got Lance Stephenson in the mix, you got Tyus Jones, who's taken some minutes away there too. I mean, we saw it in the first game. You know, Rubio, I was looking for a reason why I didn't do so well the last game, and I said, yes, see, there it is. But, you know, it's not all his point guard role anymore. I mean, down the stretch of that last game, they had Tyus Jones, and Rubio wasn't even on the court. Tyus Jones was actually the one that hit the go-ahead shot to win the game for them, if I'm not mistaken. But I know he was definitely out there. So, you know, I've heard some rumblings about this too, where, you know, obviously it doesn't look like the Timberwolves are going to the playoffs, so they might – yeah, you know, right now it's Tyus Jones, but, you know, more or less down the season, they're probably going to try to roll with, you know, the Tyus Jones, Chris Dunn train and see what they got going there. This could just be like the initial beginnings of it.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget these guys. Chris Dunn was a first-round draft pick.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Top 5.
Yeah, he was highly, highly regarded throughout the NBA. So
a lot of the scouts said that he could possibly be the best player from this draft when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we're halfway through the season. We don't know what he's going to be yet.
He's going to be beautiful, goddammit.
Yeah, no kidding. but you know, I don't see a future as Ricky Rubio leading this team at the point guard position. I don't see them going anywhere if they continue to do that. The guy can't create his own shot or score. I've said it before. He's a poor Rajon. He's a white man's Rajon Rondo. But the problem is,
Hispanic's Rajon Rondo
is Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, he can't hit free
and they
throws.
They both have RR as their initials.
I know. I've said this before. So yeah, I mean, but this matchup is so juicy, and I mean, you just talked me off of him, and I hope that it just doesn't come back and bite me in the ass. But I won't have any of them tonight. And in fact, I just pressed the delete button on Boomers Ballers because of everything you just said. Plus, you add in the fact that Lance Stephenson, a revenge game on a 10-day contract, playing for the rest of the year. He got hurt, and they basically cut his ass, and he can handle the ball. Yeah. I'm out. Out on the Tommy Rubio.
Trying to see what he got out of the psycho. Now, on the Timberwolves side of things, you know, we just kind of opened up it a little bit right there. Oh, by the way, to close out the Pelicans real quick, I'm a little interested in Solomon Hill tonight since he's going to be probably the one chasing Wiggins all over the court. So, you know, he's pretty cheap. He could fall ass backwards into some points. But I like it a lot. I liked it even before all that injury news. But he could definitely be interesting if all three of those guys are out. Okay. Now, Carl Anthony Towns against the Pelicans last season. He had 59 FanDuel points, 52.3 against him. Earlier this season, you know, the game was a blowout, so they really didn't need him too much. You got to see what Carl Anthony Towns has done since the start of the new year. It's fantastic. Like, his bar graph on StatMuse is just one of those sort of things. Yeah, I know a lot of people might be going to Boogie tonight, you know, coming off suspension. He could have himself a monster game. Don't overlook Carl Anthony Towns tonight. 500 cheaper on FanDuel. And, yeah, he's just been playing out of his balls lately. So I like this move here. And then, again, Andrew Wiggins without Zach LaVine in the lineup. He's posted, what do we got here, 36, 35, 49 fantasy points. The epic usage rates are just going to continue throughout the rest of the season. And by the way, Wiggins' shoe game the other night, flawless. Straight St. Patty's green shoes rocking with the Timberwolves unis. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is one of the best big men in the NBA.
Indeed. So. Oh, I almost lost breath talking up these Timberwolves. Damn, it's a good matchup. Yeah, so I could seriously do a two-game stack with this and the Denver Knicks game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it at all. I really do like the I really do like the idea of having a lot of exposure to this game. I love Anthony Davis tonight. I just do.
So Kentucky battling down low.
Yeah, they are. I also
together they have three eyebrows.
I was all over Etuan Moore.
Yep.
But I mean, I'll have some Drew Holiday. I'll have exposure to a lot of these guys. So,
yeah. All right, let's get to the next one here. Indiana Pacers at the Washington Wizards. The Wizards, 5-point favorites in this one. Minus 200 on the money line. 214.5 is your total. Teams have split the season series, both games in double digits in terms of point difference. 2-point win in Indiana for the Pacers and a 6-point win in Washington for the Wizards. Pacers, 5-4 against the Wizards in their last nine meetings. 4-5 against the spread. Another beautiful statistic to look at here. 8 of the last 9 Pacers-Wizards games have gone over the total. A couple of spread notes for each team to look at. Pacers 8-13 against the spread as an underdog this season. 9-16 this season on the road against the spread. And for the Wizards, they are one of the best teams in terms of against the spread records in the NBA this season. But I'm noticing a trend here, Keith. They haven't covered their last two games. They're starting to kind of remind me of how the Rockets were a couple weeks ago, where they couldn't cover a game to save their damn lives. But overall this season, they have been excellent. 8-1 against the spread as a home favorite of 3 to 6 points. Keep that in mind, 3 to 6, which they are tonight. And then they are 19-10 against the spread at home this season. Injury notes for both sides. Thad Young is going to be out for this one. He's missed the last three games with a sprained wrist. And then Markieff Morris has the intentions of playing tonight, or he says he will play tonight. He missed the last game with a calf injury, but he should be back. You know, when we were talking about John Wall last game against the Nets, you know, we pulled the fade on him and we said, don't do it. He's not going to reach his salary expectations. So we get the news late that Markieff Morris is going to be out. I'm like, damn it, Wall's going to do it now. You got one less body to take points away. Everything seemed like it was against us. And then overtime, I'm like, oh, damn, now he's definitely going to hit the salary expectations. Still didn't do it. We reign supreme, Keith.
Okay. I mean, I don't.
You know what? You wanted to take all the credit at the beginning. I'm taking credit for this one. So
I agree. But here's the thing. Do you realize that the Washington Wizards, their starters have the highest percentage of points scored per game out of any other team in the NBA?
I do.
So what does that tell you that we should be doing?
Not picking their bench.
And not playing John Wall?
Ah, see. Very good.
Look, John Wall's a great cash game guy. If you want to pay $10.5 for 50, 55, go right on ahead. He's got an amazing floor, especially when he's at home, especially against the likes of Jeff Teague. But I will not be playing him in tournaments. It's Bradley Beal, it's Otto Porter, it's Markieff Morris, and maybe a splash or two of Marcin Gortat. But I'm not playing anybody off the bench unless they're starting.
Yeah, and even, you know, last game where Kelly Oubre, like, that seems to be the guy that you would, yeah, or that always finds his way into the starting lineup.
You want to talk about going back to the well on a guy and having basically a less than 1% ownership? Play Kelly Oubre tonight in a couple lineups. See what his ownership percentage is. I promise you, if he goes off for 25, you're going to thank me. Because he has the ability to. And I might have just given too much away, but yeah.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I mean, look, with the Wizards, I'm pretty confident in these guys on a normal basis, so I'm not going to worry about shooting guards against the Pacers, though. That's the key matchup. So Bradley Beal could be a nice play here. However, I mean, there's so much value at the shooting guard position that's opening up. Do you really need to go there?
You don't need to, but Kelly Oubre is not a shooting guard.
I was talking about Bradley Beal.
Oh, yes, you can. He's got 50-point upside, dude.
I didn't say you need. Can you? It was a yes or no question.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Absolutely, okay. You can. Because okay. I mean, granted, he's not the best. Like, he's in a good matchup, but you have Devin Booker and Klay Thompson that are cheaper. You've got Will Barton, Tim Hardaway Jr., KCP, Gary Harris. You know, you've got all
Tom
those
Dick guys, and Harry,
Lance Stevenson. You know, you've got all Wayne Ellington. If you know, you've got options there. Don't get me wrong, but. With that said, Bradley Beal is firmly in play because there's a chance that he could be the highest scoring shooting guard of the night.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
so,
indeed.
I mean, that's my whole thing is I want to get the highest. If I can get the highest score of the night at a position, I'm going to try to do it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Now. Indiana, they're very interesting here. Jeff Teague and Paul George have both had very good performances against them in the previous two meetings. We've had Paul George went for 45.6 and 37.6. You got Teague, who barely outdid him, with 46.8 and 38.9. I mean, this is a pretty easy spot to go. And I love that number that I put up at the beginning there with the 8 of the last 9 Pacers-Wizards games have gone over the total. I mean, you know, it's not like the Wizards are ever in a low total. So that's just a good sign to see that. You know, it's funny, too, with Thad Young out of the lineup, you would think Miles Turner, maybe Lavoy Allen, you know, they would be the guys to, you know, step up and have more production. It's just been Paul George, Jeff Teague that have been doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's those two.
They've actually done worse without him.
Yeah, they have. I don't mind a Miles Turner here. He's not my favorite center option of the night, but like I said, I don't mind it. I think he's going to be pretty low owned, right around that 15% mark. But he's definitely got 40-point upside, and that's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, he's not going to cost me an arm and a leg. He's definitely got some profit potential, the ability to go 6-7x. The issue I have is if Lavoy Allen does not have a reasonably productive game, they can key on Thaddeus or Miles Turner a lot more with both Markieff and Marcin Gortat, with Markieff obviously helping Gortat on that. So that could limit Miles Turner just a little bit.
See, I had a blur here now. Miles Turner, or I'm sorry, Thad Young, who's going to be out tonight, he's had two very good performances against the Wizards. I mean, right at 30, just below 30. You know, we've seen power forwards do a good job. It's incredibly risky, and you got so many power forwards on this slate that seem about as sure as it gets. I don't think, you know, power forward's the spot to be stingy at tonight. But, you know, if Thad Young could channel his powers to Lavoy Allen tonight, that would be something. But, again, we haven't seen it too much. I mean, the first game that Lavoy Allen stepped in was good. But other than that, it's been very, very disappointing. Yeah. I'm very disappointed in you, Lavoy. Very disappointed. Now go sit in the corner.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just one of those things. I would rather play the secondary guys off of Washington, like Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, Markieff Morris. That's probably where a lot of my Washington exposure is going to come from. And then Jeff Teague, and that's probably where a lot of my Indiana exposure is going to come from. Other than that, I mean, those are my four main targets in this game.
Sure, absolutely. I gotcha. All right, three more games left to get to. We are on the back six.
Sure. Like golf.
No, thirds, yeah. Most people say back nine, but we're cutting it into thirds here. All right, we got the Golden State Warriors at the Memphis Grizzlies. I got a hot take coming here. 7.5-point favorites are the Warriors, -350 on the money line. 215 is our total. A lot of trends bucking in favor of the Grizzlies in this one. Now, Grizzlies have won both meetings against the Warriors this season, which is very surprising. An ass-kicking in the first meeting, and then the overtime thriller in the second one. Warriors 10-5 against the Grizzlies in their last 15 meetings, but only 8-7 against the spread in that. 11 of the last 15 Warriors-Grizzlies games have gone under the total. If we need a couple trends from both sides, we don't get any because they're all right in there. A couple injury news notes, though. JaVale McGee is probable for tonight with the glute contusion. Say that three times fast. Zaza Pachulia out. Doubtful on the side of out for the next three games, the shoulder injury. Obviously, David West out indefinitely with a thumb surgery. Zach Randolph, I believe, will play. I saw that. Is that correct?
Yes, Zach Randolph will play.
He will play, and then Chandler Parsons, he's out. This was a planned day arrest, so it's a planned day arrest. Hot take, Warriors are going to lose tonight, and they, obviously with the money line total, not very big. It was actually at 300 already at the open, so again, for the Warriors to be in that kind of position on the money line is very, very telling. But we all know who they play tomorrow night, so I can see them peeking ahead to tomorrow night and maybe pulling up short in this one. Does anybody rest in this game tonight? I don't know. Again, the fact that they have OKC tomorrow night, I could see them just looking ahead and completely blowing this game off. They already lost to the Grizzlies two times. I know that they want to win this game, but tomorrow is a much more important game. So how do you see this one going?
I have no problem going to Kevin Durant tonight.
Okay.
He's lit up the Grizzlies in the past. I can just pull it up. And I'm not just talking about this year. I'm talking about in his career. I mean, he's lit them up. I don't think they're going to be any Golden State guy is going to be low owned tonight, I believe. And full disclosure, I'm not playing DFS tomorrow. Everything will be updated and everything like that, but there's no way I can legitimately make real good lineups thinking about that game tomorrow night. But at 10-3, I mean, if he gets 55-60, which he's capable of doing, I don't mind that. He's got the 60-point upside. And really, who else are we paying up for today besides a center that we're going to talk about and Anthony Davis? I really like Draymond Green, especially since JaVale McGee is probably not going to play. Not that he plays a ton anyways. Are you telling me they're going to run Anderson Varejao out there for 22 minutes? Yeah, right. So, they've got James Michael McAdoo, Kevon Looney. I mean, they could both play. But it's really, I love how Fenda put lower body injury. That fall that he had was like, that hurt me.
JaVale?
Yes. That hurt me.
It's a glute contusion.
Dude, I'm surprised he didn't break his back.
Yep. That was
spinal. Golden State, it's Clay, it's Durant, it's Draymond for me.
No Steph, huh?
No Steph. Okay. His price is starting to get up there now where you're starting to lose. He's got the ability, don't get me wrong. I will have a little bit of Steph in my script tonight on DraftKings, but as far as FanDuel, I won't have him because I'll probably only be making one or two lineups, and I won't. There's too many other point guards I want to go to. Over him on FanDuel, but I can go there on DraftKings in a script. So,
gotcha. I don't know. I'm gonna take the cautious approach with Golden State. I really don't think they're gonna show up tonight. Just everything what Vegas is saying on that line, kind of. It's funny. I kind of had that thought just initially since they play OKC, and I was looking. When I initially did, my pre-stuff, I didn't see the lines for any games. So I was like, I'm a little interested to see what happens here since they got OKC tomorrow night. And then sure enough, everything's looking very favorable for the Grizzlies here. So I can certainly see that happening. And I don't know. I'm not really gonna be too heavy on any Warriors tonight.
There you go.
But personal opinions. Yeah. Everyone's got them. Grizzlies are interesting here. You got Mike Conley. He went for almost 0.2 away from Berger. We'll just give it to him. That's like a sliver of lettuce hanging off of it. He was aided by overtime in that game, though. But, hey, look, that's right. I think he'll probably be a little higher owned than usual just because you got the pace up matchup with the Warriors. And then also on the target, you know, Marc Gasol, really, what are the Warriors going to do to defend him? I don't see much. And then Tony Allen. I mean, he was 39.9 the last time against the Warriors out there. He did have 6 steals that game, which boosted that total. But, you know, the last 2 games, he's actually played very well, 26.4 and 25.7, you know, just in the 2 schlubs that they played the last game. So, I mean, isn't everybody a schlub besides the Warriors?
Yeah, pretty much. no, I'm kidding. I actually really, really like a couple guys from the Grizzlies here. I'm not going to give them all out because we've obviously got to save stuff for our subscribers. Marc Gasol's in a great spot. You know, with Zach Randolph playing now, I have no interest in Jamichael Green. And obviously, you know, Mike Conley. But there's also a couple other guys that I like here. And they are guys that not everybody's going to be sneaking or talking about. So, sorry, something just came across my Twitter feed that I just almost threw up on. So, anyways, yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies, look, this game, I don't foresee it going over the total, but that doesn't mean there can't be fantasy production. It's not one that I would stack by any stretch of the imagination, but it is definitely something that will have a couple of sneaky plays in the building. So,
cool. All right, 2 more games left to get to, both from the left coast. We've got the – well, Phoenix isn't really on the left coast, but they're out there. Bulls, 2.5-point favorites at the Suns tonight. We got a total of 217. Teams haven't met this season, and it's very funny because over the last 4 Suns-Bulls games, they're like dead even in every single category against the spread statistic, everything. It's freaky how dead even they are. But in terms of injuries, Jimmy Butler's game time decision. Dwayne Wade will play. And then you got Isaiah Cannon and Paul Zipser listed as questionable for this one. On the Suns side of things, Dragan Bender out indefinitely. He's going to miss a couple weeks with the ankle injury, blah, blah. Look, for the Bulls, it's going to be pretty simple. If Wade's in, he's in. Well, no, he is in, so he's in play. I could even go back to Michael Carter-Williams, actually. I mean, after that, or before that dud that he posted, he had, you know, 40 and 43 FanDuel points. So, against the Suns, look, that's not a bad play. Jimmy Butler, if he's in, you know, he's going to be a good play tonight too. What are you looking at from the Bulls?
It's Jimmy Butler. I think he's going to play. You don't go through practice full yesterday without playing the next day. No offense to anybody that thinks Dwayne Wade is another good play, in my opinion. You've got really, for the Bulls, it's those two and it's Taj Gibson. Those are my only two that I have, or only three that I have. I actually have more on the Phoenix side than I do the Bulls side. So
interesting. Also, Robin Lopez, at least 27 fantasy points for the last 5 games. Even had a 36 and a 40.8 in that span. But, of course, a lot of that, you know, coming without the with Jimmy Butler in the lineup and then, you know, Wade missing the game too. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's talk about Phoenix, because you got something interesting here, bruh.
Yeah, I do. Eric Bledsoe! Sorry, I just had to. Look, he's 7,200 on DraftKings. Why? Sorry. Yeah, he's 7,200 on DraftKings. That's too cheap. Let's just put it this way. I just ran my first initial script. Okay. DS put out 98% Eric Bledsoe. Out of 136 lineups. 98%. I don't know. Look, I don't question the domination station that much. But I don't know how I can not get off of it. It's going to be extremely difficult. Extremely difficult.
Sure.
So he's going to be part of my core tonight. And you know what? I'm fine with that at that price. So the question is how much Bledsoe is too much Bledsoe? Because who's going to guard him? Rajon Rondo? Jerian Grant?
Jerian Grant, possibly.
I'll take Bledsoe. I think Booker's going to be on or going to get guarded by Butler, although I don't see that happening all the time. I do see that happening at times. That does not mean that I don't like Booker. I just don't like him as much as Bledsoe. I don't foresee Bledsoe being picked up by Butler. Now, if Butler should miss, then by all means, just lock and load both of them. It's just too good of a matchup, you know, because then you're talking about guys like Michael Carter Williams. So yeah, there you go from there. I also like PJ Tucker, or not PJ Tucker, sorry, TJ Warren.
TJ Warren. Now, gotta remember, if Butler's in, he's probably gonna be on Warren.
Oh, I know. No, he's not. He's gonna be on Devin Booker.
Wade Booker?
No. There's no way that you allow the two biggest playmakers for Phoenix to not be guarded by one of your better defenders. He's going to be on one of the two, you know. Maybe not every possession, but for a good, good stretch. And I honestly think that it's going to be Booker.
Okay. That's an interesting thought. I'm glad we had this talk.
You probably don't agree with me, though.
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to look into it, but who the hell knows? You know, I mean,
who really knows, right?
Right. I was looking at I've seen this lately that Phoenix has been running like a lot slower of a pace. You know, for a while this season, they were number one. Brooklyn took them over, and then, you know, Golden State's coming up here. I think the Rockets are only one decimal point away from taking them over now, too. So, I don't know, just something to keep in mind.
Okay.
All right. Last game of the night. Let's get to it. Atlanta Hawks at the Sacramento Kings. Kings 1-point favorites in this one. Over-under, they're at 208.5. Hawks won the only meeting this season, won by 11 in Atlanta. Hawks 4-1 straight up and against the spread against the Kings in their last five meetings. No fancy spread notes to look at here. Just some injury news. Dabo Sefolosha is out indefinitely with a groin injury. Thiago Splitter out indefinitely with a calf injury. And then on the Kings side of things, this is where it gets very interesting. Ty Lawson, listen, is doubtful. He left the last game with a strained leg muscle. Omer Caspi, questionable, could make his return to the lineup after missing multiple games with a foot injury. And, of course, Garrett Temple's still out and definitely with the hamstring injury. Boogie's back! That should be fun. But from the Kings side of things, when Boogie's back, it's Boogie and everybody else is just living in it. However, Boogie's world and everybody's living in it. However, Darren Collison going to have a tits matchup tonight if Lawson misses this game.
Yeah, it's Darren. It's Darren Collison. I don't see Ty Lawson playing. It's Darren Collison, and that's and Boogie. Obviously, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, because of what he did the other night, because it was without Boogie, his price has now jumped up, and I can't pay that now for only 23 minutes. If he was 3,000 on DraftKings, I could. But not now. So I shall be off of that train. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was stressful the other night. But it was fun. So yeah, I just, it's pretty simple. They're both going to be highly owned in my opinion. And they're both, it's worth it for both of them to be highly owned. Because I think that they are in great spots. Now, with that said, we have to keep in mind that Boogie did struggle against Atlanta last time, and that for every two techs he gets now, he's suspended a game for the remainder of the season. So if he gets a tech tonight, then he can get a tech like Saturday or Sunday, and then he's suspended again for the next game. So after 16, it's every two techs, and you're done for a game. So we have to watch out. We have to watch that. Because that's going to...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's going to... The reason we have to pay attention to it is because, like, there's a chance that these guys that we used the other night, Kostas Koufos and Willie Cauley-Stein, they become better plays again. So that's just for future reference.
I couldn't find it. I could have swore because of Boogie struggling in Atlanta, I thought it was on the back end of a back to back or some
weird schedule. It was the beginning of the season.
All right. Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, look, it's not going to be an easy matchup, you know, at all. Just from a physical standpoint, looking at it. But again, look, we've seen Boogie do well in plenty of matchups. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't have any worries about it, but he did struggle. You know, it is more of a premier center matchup tonight between him and Dwight Howard. So that's, you know, I don't want to say I'm worried about it, but, you know, it's something, it's food for thought.
Indeed. Now, you know, given those two big idiots dealing with each other, that could leave, you know, Paul Millsap in a really good position. I'm sure he's going to draw the Koufos matchup. So he could, you know, certainly, you know, I like that, you know, when Howard has to go up against a good center, it seems like, you know, Millsap could do his thing. That's kind of what happened the other night against the Nuggets when you had, you know, Howard and Jokic going toe-to-toe with each other. You know, Millsap was able to, you know, kind of, you know, you hate to say he sneaks off and does his own thing, but, you know, he basically just avoids the less physically imposing guy of the two. And that's, you know, that's something I'll take all the time.
Yeah. I just saw this. My model has...
Is this what almost made you throw up?
No. That was something completely else.
Because I definitely want to know what that was.
My model has Anthony Tolliver projected for 30 plus minutes.
Gross.
Here's the issue.
That sounds like a model problem.
Hey. Hey now. Wait a second here. Here's the issue is... Okay, 37. That's not that great. What is he on FanDuel? What's Anthony Tolliver over there on FanDuel? He is 37. It's a better play on FanDuel than it is on DraftKings, by for sure. I'm going to have to look into it and see. He was getting 30 minutes even with Boogie in the lineup. So that could be a possibility. I'm going to have to look because it's something that is just, it's kind of weird. But keep that in mind that, you know, we do attack Atlanta with power forwards, and if Anthony Tolliver is going to get 30 minutes, he's worth a look in tournaments. If you're building multiple lineups and you need some value.
All right. I think that's Tim Hardaway, like, from the Hawks, but you know, Bazemore,
he's starting to get expensive.
I guess he's maxed out there at 21, I believe, twice over the last five games. Gross. But yeah,
He got into some serious foul trouble last game. Like, okay. It was bad. He'd picked up three fouls in the first, in his second rotation in the first half, and then literally like 6 seconds into the second half, he picks up his fourth foul.
Shit.
So, and part of Bazemore's game is, you know, to, you know, be able to defend without getting or having fouls called against him. And when that happened, I was just like, because I had a lot of Bazemore that night. I was just like, son of a bitch. So.
All right. We got to get this episode out to you folks. I know it took a little longer today than usual, but I'll have my article out here very soon. By the time you get to this point in the podcast, it'll be out already by like an hour or two. So, ha, in your face. And do you guys want to follow us on Twitter? 14a.walsh for me, Boomers DFS Daddy for Keith, DFSArmy.com. If you're not a member, promo code podcast, 20% off each month. Those are all the billboard announcements, and we'll hear from you, or you'll hear from us again on Monday.
Peace out.
Peace.